Welcome back to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're rounding out a special hour of Insight, listening back to some of the most meaningful conversations this year. Our final piece comes from Cap Radio's jazz music director, Gary Vercelli, who sat down with Michael Wolff back in June, a critically acclaimed pianist with a rich musical history. Wolff recently published an autobiography, On That Note, sharing an incredible career as well as a profound joy for living following a serious health scare.
In 1974, at the young age of 22, pianist Michael Wolff was already a member of the Cannonball Adderley Quintet, one of the most famous bands in jazz. Wolff went on to work with jazz legends Sonny Rollins and Nancy Wilson before becoming the music director for the Arsenio Hall Show. In his recently published autobiography, On That Note, Wolff describes the highs and lows of the jazz life, as well as his struggles with undiagnosed Tourette's syndrome as a child and a rare form of cancer that nearly took his life as an adult. Through it all, Michael Wolff emerges as a pianist and educator with a positive attitude and a joy for living. Wolff grew up in New Orleans and Memphis, studying piano and soaking up the sounds of African-American churches. As a youngster, he started to experience what he called tics.
We moved to Berkeley, California in 61, and nobody there ever told me I had Tourette's syndrome, and I just grew up not knowing what it was. I just thought it was my habits, and I thought it was my problem, that I just shouldn't have it, and if I could just figure some things out, be maybe a better person or whatever, it would go away. I was really ashamed of it, you know, all these different tics, and I started making some noises, you know, and it wasn't until years later, when I was in my early 30s, a friend of mine, my sister-in-law was a social worker, and I was hanging out with her, and she said, "Hey, do you know you have Tourette's syndrome?" And I said, "What do you mean I have Tourette's syndrome? I don't have Tourette's syndrome. What is that?"
As you'll hear a bit later, Michael Wolff would face a very serious health challenge that would eclipse his concern with Tourette's. While he was still a student at UC Berkeley in the early 70s, Michael got a job transcribing lead sheets at Fantasy Records. That led to a meeting with a jazz legend that would launch his career into high gear.
I just walked around Fantasy and I looked in this room and there was Cal Jader, and I had seen him when I was in college. So I just walked in and said, "Hey, my name is Mike Wolff. I'm a piano player, and I'm ready to play in your band." And he looked kind of shocked, and he said, "Well, I'm going to be playing in San Francisco at El Matador this summer. Why don't you come and sit in?" That was so far before the summer, I basically spaced it out. Just went, okay, you know, I didn't think it was going to happen. But my roommate told me, he said, "Hey, man, you got to go see Cal. He's at the El Matador, and he told you to come sit in." So I went over there, but I wasn't 21. You had to be 21 to get in the club. So I went every night, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. They would never let me in. And finally on Sunday, this beautiful waitress took pity on me and snuck me in. And on the very last set, Cal let me sit in, and I played really well. And he said, "Look, I want you to come back next week and play with me all week." And after that, he said, "Yeah, I've got a gig in a month, and we're going to go to Tucson, and we're going to be there for 2 weeks. You got the gig."
Invited Cannonball Adderley to hear him play in Jader's band in a club in Los Angeles, and Cannonball liked what he heard. In 1974, an opening occurred, and Cannonball offered Wolff another great opportunity. Wolff was a generation younger than every member of Cannonball's quintet and the only Caucasian in the band, but they all spoke the common language of jazz.
He told me, he said, "Man, I hired you because you're not hung up in a bebop style." He said, "Quincy Jones and I have been trying to get that last foot out of Birdland." And he really wanted to play different music. And, you know, I'd come up playing jazz, but also funk and Latin. I had my electric piano, and I had a lot of pedals, and I could get a lot of sounds out of it. So he was very, very encouraging to me. And he said, "Look, man, I love the way you play. Don't let anybody tell you what to play." You know, he really supported me. And in terms of off the bandstand, I once talked to Cannonball about it, and he liked to talk to the audience. He said, if you get to know the audience and you let the audience get to know you as a person, you can take them wherever you want to go as a musician. So I always talk to my audience. I'm pretty funny. You know, I like to include them in my whole performance, and I think I owe that to Cannonball.
After Cannonball's untimely death, Mike spent 5 years touring the world as Nancy Wilson's music director. The opening act for many of those shows featured a largely unknown comic named Arsenio Hall. Mike and Arsenio really hit it off.
He said, one day I'm going to have a talk show and you're going to write the theme and do the music. And I went, okay, man, I'm up for it. So when he got his show, I didn't know if it was going to last. I figured it might last 13 weeks, so I didn't buy a car. I just sublet a friend's apartment for a few months, and it just turned into 5.5 years, and it changed my life. It's the first time I'd really made any money, and I got to play with everybody, you know, jazz, greats like Herbie Hancock and Branford Marsalis and Wayne Shorter and, you know, so many greats, Chick Corea. And it was my band, so I really had a great position with them, you know, dealing with them. And I got to play with Whitney Houston and Mariah Carey and her first thing when she was about 18. It was on-the-job training in a lot of ways. And the best thing that came out of it is there was an actress that I had always liked who was a star of 30-something named Polly Draper. She came on the show, and I made it a point to meet her. And eventually I asked her out, and now we've been married for 30 years, and we have 2 sons. That was a life-changing experience for me.
When the Arsenio show was canceled, Mike wasn't happy about it, but he wasn't devastated either. He was already scoring for film and TV, and it gave him the opportunity to return to the jazz world.
Jazz is playing between the lines, you know, it just fits my Tourette's personality. You know, I don't have to be exact, I don't have to be trying to be perfect, I can be really creative, and that's what I missed.
Back in New York City, Wolf formed a partnership with veteran drummer Mike Clark. The Wolf and Clark Expedition released 2 critically acclaimed albums, putting their original stamp on jazz standards and offering some straight-ahead originals like Michael Wolf's composition, Clark Bar. About this time, Wolf began feeling ill and was diagnosed with a type of lymphoma. He underwent treatment for 1 year, but his health continued to decline. The doctors then discovered he'd been misdiagnosed and actually had a rare form of cancer called histiocystic sarcoma, a cancer so rare only 300 people had ever had it.
There was no cure for that at the time, and the doctor said, oh, I'm sorry, I don't know what to do. I'm going to send you to the rare cancer guy. It is Memorial Sloan Kettering. They're way ahead of the curve. They do lots of experimental things. And they had a experimental genomic blood test that they did. Just look at your DNA and see if they can find a mutation that might cause whatever cancer you happen to have. That was really my only hope, because it was stage 4, and the doctor thought I had about 3 months left. You know, I was really sick. It took 6 weeks for all of the DNA to come in for that test, and as it was coming in, the doctor was just getting more and more discouraged, and he told my wife, he said, I'm stumped. At the very end, a mutation came in that he thought might be my cancer, so he went into the lab himself, checked it out with my biopsy, and thought, yeah, maybe that'll do it. So he went on the computer and found a tiny little pill that looks like nothing, and that's used for something else, and he said, let's try it. And I did, and after 2 days, all my symptoms went away. And then in 10 days, I had 80% reduction of tumors. I took that medicine for a couple of years. After the first 6 months, he wasn't seeing any cancer, and he said, I just don't see any cancer. And I said, well, how would I know if I'm cured? He goes, you'd have to stop the medicine. So I stopped the medicine. He said, if you go a year without it coming back, it's not in remission. You're cured. So it's been almost 4 years now.
Wolf now teaches at NYU and continues to record and perform around New York. I asked him how his bout with cancer changed his life.
Couple of different things. One, I try every day to notice something really special. If I'm in New York, I look up to see a building I wouldn't have normally looked at, or the sunset, or, you know, something like that. Or write a song, whatever I do. I can't say I achieve that every day, but I want to try to do that every day. And the main thing I decided, or that I came to from this experience, the gift that I got from it, was to realize that the absolute most important thing for me in my life is my family, and then after that, the people I love. And the people I love that are no longer alive, you know, they're really important to me. I realize they're kind of living with me all the time. And I accept that, you know, whether it's Cannonball or Cal Jader or Miles Davis, or my parents who are both deceased.
I asked Michael Wolf if he ever felt like giving up.
I think I have a basic, realistic optimism in myself, and I found out through this experience that my character is very strong. I really wanted to survive, and I just wasn't gonna quit no matter what. There's something inside of me, unconscious or instinct or whatever it is, that wasn't going to let me just, you know, call it. I just couldn't do it.
Michael Wolf's autobiography is titled On That Note.
That is Cap Radio jazz music director Gary Vercelli, who sat down with pianist Michael Wolf about his memoir On That Note. Their conversation first aired back in June. I'm Vicki Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us.